Ready? Right. Now, this is Flory Krell and Betty Rahm, April 9th, 1976, interviewing Mrs. Marcella Feingold, Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, Project 2. Okay, Marcella, before we begin, would you tell us something about your family, father, your mother, brothers and sisters, anything about grandparents, anything that you think might be relative to your particular life today as that has come about because of background, family background?
Well, I come from a very close-knit family whose roots are in Pittsburgh. My father and mother came to Pittsburgh as very young children. Their families grew up here and they knew each other as young people. As a matter of fact, they were both married at the age of 20 and settled in the small community of Grayopolis, which is just 12 miles down the river.
Where were your parents from?
Our mother was born in Austria-Hungary and Dad was born in Russia. Dad came to this country when he was 2 and Mother when she was 12. And I do know a great deal about my family background because my mother was the kind of person who kept traditions alive and was very family-oriented. As a matter of fact, I have an unusual situation, my brother and I, in that we had 3 sets of grandparents, which was most unusual in those days, and it's such a long story, I don't want to go into it now. But my father's parents were divorced in Russia.
That's rather unusual.
Most unusual. And remarried, and my father's mother and her husband settled in North Carolina, and we have a big branch of family in the South with whom we are in close touch. And so we, as children, were the recipients of love and affection and gifts and so forth from 3 sets of grandparents, which was, as I said, most unusual. And I have a brother younger than I, and we grew up and were educated in Grayopolis public school system, but we came into Rodoshalom Temple for the 7th grade on through and were confirmed there and in the Grayopolis Southwestern District Sunday School Systems, which was one of the council projects in conjunction with Miriam Schoenfeld, who ran the Southwestern Sunday School System in those years.
You were confirmed twice.
I was confirmed twice.
But you were living here in Pittsburgh?
No.
You were still always living in Coriopolis?
Lived in Coriopolis until I was married. My parents moved from there long after I was married, moved to Pittsburgh and then to Florida. But they were still living in Coriopolis when I was married. I went to Pitt. I commuted the first year and then lived in Pittsburgh with an aunt and uncle the other 3 years and started to work in Pittsburgh and continued to live here until I was married.
Going back to the home atmosphere, could you tell us something about the religious background in the home? Was it a Reform background?
Well, my parents both came from Orthodox backgrounds. Living in a small community, there was just one synagogue, one organization, which tried to encompass all 3 branches of Judaism. And, of course, coming into Rosh Hashanah Temple at that time, which was very, extremely Reform, we were given the benefit of all types of religious background. But we did have a feeling for tradition and for the ritual. And in those were years, you know, of attempting to become assimilated in the community, and I do feel that the emphasis on strict ritual life wasn't as important as it is today in some aspects of the faith. So I would say we had a normal type of a Jewish upbringing for those times in the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm. What was the what was your father's occupation?
My father owned and operated two drug stores. He was not a pharmacist, but that was his business.
Mm-hmm.
In the years that we were growing up, and then later during the war years, he sold his business and went into the ladies' dress business just because of a situation that arose in the town of a store that was available and the need for that business at the time. And he retired at a fairly early age. My father was only about 55 when he retired. And came into Pittsburgh and became a stockbroker. He had always been interested in the stock market, and at the age of 60, I guess, he took his boards and passed, and he was a broker in Pittsburgh and in Florida until he completely retired from that. And he passed away 2 years ago, but my mother's still living. And we taped her last year when she visited with us. We did our own recording of Mother's childhood because she has absolutely perfect recall. She's 82 and she hasn't forgotten a thing. And her childhood years were very interesting. And we have on tape a very good interview of her first 12 years that she spent in Europe. And this summer, I hope we will be able to tape her further because she was very pleased with the results and is interested in doing more.
What about the economic situation in your home? Is it middle class, upper middle class?
Yes, I would say that we were upper middle class. We were always very comfortable. Always, I do remember the Depression years, which affected all business people and middle class people. I remember it well because I was bitter about not being able to go away to college. I had received a scholarship to Pitt, and which I accepted because it was Depression years. But as I look back, it was really a fortunate choice because my years at Pitt were really very productive for me and very enjoyable. And I became involved in many aspects of city life that only enriched my life later on. And so today I have contacts and friends and knowledge of the city that my friends who went away to school never had. I never lost contact with Pittsburgh, and I developed roots here that have been very dear to me.
Did you find these early beginnings of interest in community as a child, or did they come later in college?
No, I think as a child, my parents were very active in the community. It's a small community,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of community that many Jewish people were active in, the non-Jewish and the general community. My father was always president of the synagogue group and an active Kiwanian. My mother was the one who ran the Sunday school for council, and the council chapter in the Coriolis was organized in our home. And I would say that I had good a precedent to follow.
You grew up with it. What about the cultural background? Was the music, arts, fine arts stressed in your home?
Not particularly. Well, my mother, I think, was more influential along those lines. I came into Pittsburgh for a lot of things. I was seemed to be living on the train. All our family lived in Pittsburgh, and I came in for dancing lessons. Carl Heinrich and I came in for music lessons. And I came in for temple. So I was coming back and forth a lot. And in my teen years, I spent weekends in Pittsburgh. so that I was able to take advantage of some of the cultural events in the city that were not open to us in Coreopolis. No one in our family was talented musically or in any literary form, so I can't say that we had that precedent to follow.
Can you tell me something about Pittsburgh, particularly what it was like in those weekends that you remember in those mm-hmm. early years when you were going to Pitt? Any particular things that stand out in your mind?
Well, of course,
you mentioned
college years were... yes, the Depression had a great effect on all of us. First of all, there was the whole sorority fraternity picture. I was a candidate for A-Phi, I think, before I came in because of my Temple contacts. Several of my friends who were older than I were already at Pitt and were already sorority. Several of my contemporaries with whom I was friendly who were eligible to join could not because they couldn't afford it. And that was a blow. I was the only pledge, and all 4 years of my college career, I was the only one in my class who was in my sorority group. Every other age level had 3, 4, 6, 8, and there I was, the only one in that particular year, so that was a rather unusual experience. I was very active at Pitt, and enjoyed the activities. Aside from the sorority, I was active in the debate society. I had been a debater at high school. I really should go back to that because that was an unusual experience, too, that most of us didn't have. We had a very active forensic group at Coriolis High School, chiefly because we had a teacher, a young man by the name of Robert J. Corbett, who became a congressman of note later and has since passed away. He was fresh out of college and very interested in developing a forensic group. The county schools in those days were very active in forensics. The city schools were not. And he developed a group of students who were interested, and we formed a debate team that was very successful. We won Pennsylvania state championships, and we went on to a national competition in Sioux City, Iowa, which the whole town turned out to send us off, just like a basketball team. I mean, they raised funds. There were five of us. And it was really quite a memorable experience. We were treated very specially in high school. We were excused from class early the night of a debate so that we could rest, and the whole town would turn out in the high school for the debate. And I guess we graduated feeling very important.
Sounds like debate was treated the way a
sport. It was treated just like a sport. It really was.
So you did your early education in your primary education, your secondary education in Coriolis. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the names of the schools?
Sure. Well, the grade school. There was a grade school, and there was a junior high school and a senior high school, but I don't know mm-hmm. them by name. All within walking distance, of course. Homogeneous community, middle-class community in those days. It was more middle-class than it is now, where everybody went to the town high school. Nobody went away to school in the secondary school system. The banker's child went to school with the shoemaker's child, and so forth and so on. There were very few Jewish children in the school system, so that we had the opportunity to mingle in the general community more than a lot of the children who grow up.
That this small-town background benefited you along the way?
Absolutely.
Did you tell us why? I know we're skipping around.
Well, I do feel that it was a great experience to have grown up with all kinds of people in a friendly atmosphere. It made me less self-conscious about being Jewish, even though we were known as Jews, lived as Jews, and our holidays and customs were respected, I still was able to meet people of other faiths on a much more natural basis. be a guest in their homes, have friends in our home. And I didn't realize this until I did meet Jewish friends in the city who lived more or less in their own ghettoized area, mm-hmm. who were very uncomfortable with non-Jewish people, mm-hmm. and who could never meet them on an easy level. I didn't find this out until much later, but to me it was no problem at all mingling. I was accustomed to going to church with friends, accustomed to the way they lived, yes. And there was a difference.
So you think this was beneficial later on in your community involvement, mm-hmm. with the non-Jewish world? Mm-hmm. What other subjects in school were you interested in other than the debate? Anything else in particular?
Well, in secondary school,
uh-huh.
Or in college.
In high school.
Well, history and English.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the education was the best. Corrales High School was an average school in the county system, but I know that our preparation for college wasn't as good as perhaps Alderdice or Mount Lebanon, some of the better schools in the area. It was average. But I think our debate experience was unique and could never have been duplicated elsewhere, and really contributed a great deal to my development and growth. When I went into Pitt, I immediately became part of the debate society at Pitt, and had an opportunity to travel throughout the Western Pennsylvania area to get to know a lot of the smaller colleges and schools that were involved.
What did you major in at the university?
Political science. Very unrealistic, unpractical, impractical major in those days. And at that time, I really thought I would have a career in government service, which was most impractical because very few women were chosen to go to the special schools in Washington in preparation for any government service, that's Foreign Service or State Department. But I chose it primarily because the most interesting teacher on campus in those days was James Charlesworth, and he was head of the Political Science Department. And I was the only girl in a seminar of six. There were five guys and me. It was very exciting and interesting, but very impractical.
What did you do with it?
Nothing. By the time I was a senior, I realized that the job opportunities in Washington for a woman were very, very bad. And we were still in the Depression years, and my parents did not want me to leave Pittsburgh. So I signed up for an executive training course at Kauffman's. In those years, they offered an interesting executive training course to college graduates. I had a friend in the advertising department, and it sounded glamorous. So the executive training course encompassed all phases of business. You got a crack at advertising, at merchandising in all fields. And I found that I hated retail. The retail business, I really hated to sell. I liked all the service departments. I liked personnel or advertising. Until I came to the home furnishings department. And then I fell in love with the home furnishings and decorating. And an opportunity opened at the time. Kauffman's was very experimental in the home furnishings field. And they opened a department called Young Home Idea, which brought to Pittsburgh their resident buyer in home furnishings in New York, a woman by the name of Helen Kelly. And they picked one person from the executive training corps who was interested, and that was me, and one of the men from the decorating department. And we worked in conjunction with the decorating department in those days, which was headed by Arthur Stanley, who is well known,
mm-hmm.
even though he has passed on. And I had the most fascinating 4 years there. A real learning experience.
You worked there for years?
I worked for 4 years. I was married the first year that I worked, and I continued to work for 3 more years. And we had a marvelous experience. We would take classes at night in perspective drawing and furniture placement. And
where'd you take the classes?
One of the decorators taught at Tech and taught 3 of us at home. It was just a real experience getting to know some of the decorators who long since left Pittsburgh. There were 3 men in particular, and Arthur, mm-hmm. of course. And I learned the whole market, fabrics, textiles, lamps. There was a lamp buyer who was very well known here in her day, named Zara de Benedictus. Aunt Kaufman's was a very exciting store in those years. Family was still, Edgar Kaufman, we worked under Edgar Jr. actually. Those were the years when he was in Pittsburgh, trying to decide whether he wanted to remain in the business, and he eventually decided he didn't. He brought over this exciting Hungarian designer named Laszlo Gábor, and those are the years when Bear Falling Water was being built, and we were all involved in Falling Water in some way or other. So those were exciting years in Kaufman's, and I was, of course, in a learning process constantly. I had a lot of my responsibilities were just detail, but you couldn't help learning from the people who were making the plans.
You became a decorator.
So I became a decorator.
That's very, very interesting.
Which was the farthest thought yeah. from my mind. But I did enjoy it, and that too was a learning experience which I have never regretted, and which has enriched my life tremendously. That just the people I knew and what I learned.
Now, let's go back a little bit. Going back to your earlier years, could you tell us something about the kinds of medical care and health care services which were available in your childhood and early youth to your particular family and in choreography?
Well, we use local doctors. I have an uncle who practiced dentistry in Coriolis and who guided our medical habits, I would say, because he was friendly with all the doctors in town. Mm-hmm. We used local doctors. We never came into Pittsburgh for any medical care, simply because, as I look back, we were very healthy.
Was there a family pediatrician or
a GP, I would say. We had very few medical problems. Mm-hmm. I personally never had.
And the family didn't either in those years?
My father had a heart attack. He was about 55. That's when he retired. Mm-hmm. But up to that point, after all, my parents were married when they were 20. So, John was 55. You really, you're here a long time.
Were your parents married here in the
Pittsburgh.
States?
Oh,
they were
sure.
married here in Pittsburgh?
Yes, they grew up in Pittsburgh, you see. From
Europe. So actually, they were really not native. I mean, they were Pittsburgh natives,
right.
Native born. What kind of, during those adolescent years, I know about the debate, other kinds of, and temple, and your activities there, recreation, fun activities, as an individual with friends or with the family, did you enjoy?
My brother went to camp. I went to Girl Scout camp. I played tennis and rode a bicycle. And the summers were mostly very dull. I must say, this is important. We were given responsibilities. I worked in the drugstore a lot. I hated it, but I did work. I knew that I was needed, and I was given a lot of responsibility. My parents always gave me a lot of responsibility, maybe because I took it easily. But I was often responsible for actually closing the store at midnight. In those years, we lived many, many blocks from there. It was just nothing to walk home at midnight alone.
How old were you?
Well, I was in high school. I was probably 15, 16, 17.
This, I think, I'm not supposed to interject any personal comments, but having grown up in a small town, until I was 16 years old, and with the family and business. This is sounds like a similar kind of a trend. Yeah.
My father was of the old school in that he felt somebody in the family should always be around.
And we should be in the store.
Yes. And in those days, the drugstores were open from very early in the morning till very late at night.
Can I?
Sure, absolutely. And we always had a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
Always had to have pharmacists because my father was not a pharmacist, but he felt somebody in the family should be around. And I don't pretend that I enjoyed it. I did not like it. But I did it. As I recall, there were many summers when I worked. I worked behind the fountain. I worked.
Those are the days of soda fountains.
Right. My children. I'm the best soda jerk in town.
I bet you are.
But again, any learning experience is good, you see. I didn't regret it after I grew up.
No.
But I'm sure I felt put upon in those years when maybe some of my friends weren't working.
Well, what about your friends? Were they going traveling or camping? Or?
No, in this... Arlene, would you get that? If that's Mr. Ramp, I'll be excused. Well, from the class of society, they really, I'm trying to think, my Pittsburgh friends either went to camp or teenagers didn't seem to be able to find jobs in those years. There wasn't that push for jobs. They just hung around the house. Summers were very unproductive.
Did the family travel? Did you travel?
No, we never traveled as a family. Never. My mother and father, because of the type of business, I think as youngsters, I do know that many summers, my brother and I, my mother went south to visit my father's mother in the south. That was an interesting experience. They were a big family and lived in a small town on somewhat farm-like, in a farm-like community, and it was a different experience.
What was the name of the town?
Troy, North Carolina.